Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Mark 12 and verse 29. Good to have our visitors with us today. We appreciate you choosing to come and be with us at the First Free Will Baptist Church. We're not everyone's cup of tea, but we're pouring out of the right pot. Amen. We just love the Lord. We're going to come and worship in spirit and truth and see people saved. We're not here for any... Well, when you come through the door, you can see why we're here. His name's in the tile out there. Jesus. That's why we're in the Jesus business. You found Mark 12 and verse 29. Let me hear you shout amen. And Jesus answered him, I'll come back to this in a moment. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Father, I love you. I thank you for the day, the time, the great songs today. It's lifted me in my spirit. Praise the Lord. I thank you for each one that's come. I pray you help me, God. Preach me like a dying man to dying people. Help lives be changed here today, Lord. We need you now more than ever. Help us now. I pray, God, you would fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me with accuracy inside the bounds of this holy book. I pray, God, that you would touch ears in the congregation today, enable them to hear, and then hearts to receive this word. God, that comes to them through the ear gate. I pray, God, that you'd help me. I pray you'd make this message effective. And not for no glory of mine or the church nor anyone, but for you and you alone. I praise you for what you're going to do. And I ask it in my King's name, Jesus. Amen. And amen. Now, Jesus here's about to, he's been asked a question by a scribe. And he knows why he's asking the question. And he's just wanting to check the answer of Christ. And they're always looking for some reason to try to trip him up. What a useless endeavor. If you're looking for a way. Is that not on? It is now. You better mute that, this one. And turn me down. Am I good there now? Sounds good. Jimmy said, sounds good. He's on the front row. God love him. The scribe's coming. He's trying to trip Jesus up. He don't know actually what he's doing. He asked a question here. Jesus is going to answer, and he answers this. And the scribe, at this time, the scribe's probably carrying around a little book or a leather box with him. It has the scriptures in it. They don't leave home without it. I mean, they're always going around. And so Jesus answers him with something he's very familiar with that's called the Shema. They do this every day without fail. They're going to do it in the morning, and they're going to do it in the evening. In the evening, they're going to recite this particular verse. They're going to do it leaning or in a reclining position. In the morning, they're going to do it when they're standing up. That has to do, if you read Deuteronomy 6, it has to do with that. He's going to bless you at the coming in, the going out, at the rising and the laying down. You are to remember that here, O Israel, he doesn't want them to forget it. Don't you? If you forget anything, you better not forget this. Hear, O Israel, this is the first of the commandments. The Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord. Now, I'm not trying to confuse anyone here today. I want us to understand what this is in reference to. So in order to do that, we've considered the scribe and the Shema. Let's look at the scripture quickly to see what this is in reference to. We know we come into the New Testament. Now, I read in study this week that some considered this, some old writers, theologians, considered this of having the Trinity shown in this verse. But in my word research, I can only find two, unless they are referring to Israel as the prince with God as being that of Christ. Now, I'm not here to argue that. You take that whichever way you want to. But we have New Testament scripture today that this scribe didn't have in this day. All he had was the Old Testament law, the Pentateuch, the five books, the prophets. He had those, but the Pentateuch in particular, first five books in the Old Testament in the Hebrew language, he had those, and it's very important to them. And in Deuteronomy, when Moses is writing down the instruction to the nation Israel, and in chapter 6, he says, this is the first commandment. Hear, O Israel. Don't you forget it. That the Lord, our God, is one God. But we know today, we go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we know that we see this represented, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen? One God who is above all, through all, and in you all, in you all, speaking to those that be in Christ. But so we're in Christ, but he's talking about one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, many different views on that baptism. Some say it's absolutely the water. Some say it's only the Spirit. I'm of this opinion, and after some research, found some pretty good, evidence that others think along the same lines I am. I told Dusty, I love when I get a thought on a passage of Scripture, and I look, and there's several others that think the same thing. I think primarily, we spoke of it in Sunday school class this morning, primarily, we're seeing the baptism of the Spirit. We're baptized by how many spirits? Into how many bodies? We're baptized by one Spirit into one body, that being the body of Christ. Without that, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Without that baptism, you're not in the body of Christ. Paul's very plain about that. He doesn't leave any room for argument or confusion right there. But also, you know what we're going to do tonight? We're putting water in the pool. You know why we're going to have a baptizing? You know what that is? You know what that's going to do? That is going to be, as Randy says, advertised that you have accepted Christ. You've been put in the body of Christ. And now you're going to be buried in a liquid grave and raised up to walk in the newness of life. We see Ephesians 4. 5 and 6, but then we come to 1 John. We consider 1 John 5 and 7. There are three, but he's one Lord, one God, one Spirit, but there's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost that bear record in heaven. So, and he said, and these three are... I'm a little confused by that, preacher. Let's make it perfectly clear. Colossians 2 and 9. You know what they say about Jesus? You know what Paul says about Jesus in Colossians 2 and 9? He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know what that means? That means that all of the Father, oh my, and all the Holy Ghost, and all of Jesus was put in a glorified body, all in one body. And in that one body, there is all the power of the Godhead. That means that when all the power of Mount St. Helens, when it blew off, I flew over that thing one time. You could see half of it gone. When it blew off and tore trees down and miles of chaos, there's more power in that one body than Mount St. Helens. Hey, the bombs that was dropped on Japan in World War II, there's more power in that one body than all the bombs that could be dropped on the face of the earth. The fullness of the Godhead bodily in a body. That's good. And we as Christians are in that. We are in that. That's good. That'll make a Presbyterian shout right there. That's good. All of that in one body. If we be in Christ. While we sit down, distraught and discouraged, beat down, can't get up, mad, hurt, angry, been offended, can't eat, can't sleep, troubled on every side, You know whose fault that is? You know how I can overcome that? I have all the fullness. I am in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, didn't say outside of him or around him, it said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Why is that? Because we're in the body of Christ. Now, my thought on the message is this. It is the power of one. The power of one. I'll be as quick as the Lord will let me be right here. I want us to consider in this. Now somebody said, I wish I could find who said this. Someone said, I am one. I am only one. I can't do all things, but I can do something. How do we do that? By the power that worketh in us. That's how we do it. There is untapped power in the life of every Christian in this room. I believe that we walk in spiritual poverty of where God would have us be. I believe we get our minds so saturated in the things of this stinking world that we neglect to see the power that's available to us. I mean, when storms come, praise God, there's power to just go walking right across them. When sickness comes and pain comes, and I understand that, dealt with a little of that myself, I know that there is a power that helps us overcome that. When you can't change your situation, there is power to help you overcome that if you will just be obedient. And obedience is better than A plus. The power of one. The power of one, Jay, loving. The power of one loving. I go to the central verse of the Bible in order to resurrect that. It's in our windows. It's in most of us' heart. We can quote it. Our youngest children can quote John 3:16. For God so loved immeasurable amount. There's no measure on that. I've looked, searched, researched, read after some brilliant men. Nobody can tell me what so is. Grandpa Ole would say, fa, so, that's why it is so. He'd sing you a song. I'd say, how about latte, do? So God so loved the world that he gave. There's power. The power in that love. The power to give the greatest gift known to mankind in the history of mankind. The power of that love. My goodness. What? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What a gift. The power in that. The power that God makes available to us by his gift. Without him, none of that's available. We're hopeless, lost, damned, and done. But not so in Christ. Are you still with me? Amen. The power of love. God loving. That's the power of God loving us. You're not getting this. I can tell. I want everybody in this room right now to get a mental picture of your worst enemy. Don't tell me you don't have one. There's people that don't like me. I mean, they don't like me. Somebody done you wrong, cheated you, hurt you, told you your dog was bad, run over your cat. I mean, hurt you bad, done something bad. Maybe they injured one of your children. Now, that'll get on all us parents. That'll get right under our skin in a hurry. Now, I want you to keep that mental picture for just a moment. And I want you to imagine the love that you've poured out on somebody that you care mostly about. And I want you to take that love and put it on that one that was in your mind. That's power. That's power. That's the power of God. I'm about to have a fit right here. And I don't feel like having one, but that's the power of God to take His love, my goodness, and pour it on us. It is God loving us. That's Amen. The power. Amen. You know what it is? It's sacrificial love. It's going to cost you something. It cost Him something. It cost us something. That's God's love. That's God's love. I'm thinking this morning, Jerry. And I'm trying to think of sacrificial love shown toward me. My mind went back to my mama. Hadn't seen her in a long time. Dusty's 40. Here's how I work this. Dusty's 40. She's been gone 37 years. That's how I work that. He's 3 years old. And I'm thinking about this, Gordon, and I'm thinking about every morning that I got up and I could smell gravy and biscuits and bacon frying, coffee. Here's how our kitchen smelled. Smelled like Cracker Barrel. Every day. Every now and then there's a pork chop for breakfast, but most of the time it was bacon, gravy and biscuits, and fried eggs. Scrambled sometimes, whatever. Gordon, not one time, and I'm trying to remember, and not one time could I recall this morning when I went and put my arm around my mama's neck, kissed her on the jaw, and said, thank you for getting up so early all these days of my life and fixing me these breakfasts until I moved out. I cannot recall ever doing that. I sat at the table and wept. I thought, you're an ingrate. You're a stinking heathen. You weren't worthy of those breakfasts, and yet that love got in my mouth, man, every day. That love made them biscuits, made that gravy, fried that bacon. Every day had done it. Wow, that's sacrificial love. That's power, my friend. Love, that's power of love.
Exactly right, brother.
And that's God loving us. But then we have this. We have the power of love. We have the children loving God. 1 John, I'm trying to make sure I get the right scripture. 1 John 4:19, we loved Him because He first loved us. We should reciprocate that love because He loved us. What power there is in that one love. The power of one loving. Number two, the power of one listening. This is where the idea comes from. The power of one listening. God listening to us. My wife said something to me the other day, and she didn't think I was listening. And you know why she didn't think I was listening? Because most of the time I gotta be looking at you for me to hear what you say. Because if I'm looking at that book right there and he says something to me, I'm thinking about something about that book. But praise God, I caught just enough of it. And she said, what did I say? And I said, you're going to fry 32 pieces of deer meat. She said, well, you were listening. Very fortunate. The power of one listening. the power of God listening to us. Now, I want you to get this. It's one thing. You know what we want our children to do? How many parents in the room would be honest today and say, I've looked at my kid and said, listen to me. I feel like Sergeant Carter sometimes. I can't hear you. God, the power of one listening. Listen, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The power of him being the mediator between me and God. Wow, the power of listening. God listens to me through Christ. Why? Because he's the body. He's the fullness of the Godhead, Godhead bodily, and he listens to me. I'm praying this morning. I said, Lord. And then I stopped and I said, Jesus. Interchangeable names right there. He is Lord. But I said, Jesus, thank you for mediating between me and the Father. Amen. This morning. Now, God's a spirit. You understand that? I don't think you'll ever see God. Oh, that tears some up right there. God's a spirit. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, how am I going to see him? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's looking, listening. He's listening. My favorite psalm, Dusty heard me preach it 200 times. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice. And my supplication. He has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore shall I call upon him as long as I shall live. The power of God listening to us. Can you imagine? I want you to make another picture in your mind, if you would. Take the most low down, sorry, imbecile, derelict that you've ever had any contact with, and let them tell you all about their life and where they're at. Most of us, about 3 minutes into that, we're thinking, I wish you was talking to somebody else. But Jehovah, the Lord, says, what you got to say to me? I'll listen to you today. I'll listen to you. You just talk to me. The power of listening. And that's God listening to us. But oh, let's look at the power of listening. When we listen to God, the power of one, it just takes just one listening. And we studied this. The thought was birthed out of Philip. And Philip is in a camp meeting. Down at Samaria, I mean, the devils are being cast out. The blind's been able to see. The cripples are getting up and walking. Philip is having camp meeting, praise God, in Samaria. He's interrupted by a guy that wants to buy the Holy Ghost. Peter takes care of him. But then the Lord speaks to him. The Lord speaks to Philip. And he says, go down from Jerusalem, past Jerusalem, into Gaza. Heard anything about that lately? Into Gaza. There's somebody down there I want you to talk to. I'm paraphrasing the story. And he takes off. He just takes off. Are we listening? Goes right along to Sunday school this morning. Are we listening when God speaks to us? The power of listening. If one, just one will listen, the power of that, what that does. You think it's about to change somebody's life? I think it changed a nation. It changed a nation. He didn't just go get anybody. Listen, he got an Ethiopian that was under the treasurer of Candace, of the land of Ethiopia, and leads us aboard the Lord. You know why he done that, Randy? Because he's listening. Right. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's the saved people. Listening. The power of that, how that can change. It can change families if we'll just listen. For years in my early life, I wanted to do Mike McCoy's thing. I mean, I had the wrong dreams and aspirations for my life. And it just didn't work. And then one day, old June Gardner's preaching over here. And I rededicated my life to the Lord. I can't remember if I was 30, 31, what it was. But everything changed when I finally started listening. Everything changed. Home life got better. Well, never bad to begin with. I ain't going to live in drama and chaos. I ain't going to do it. I don't know how people do it. Everything be going good, somebody do something stupid just so something will happen. What's wrong with them? I can't figure that out. Home life got better. Work got better. Guys at the work said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I got right with the Lord." "Oh, yeah, right." I said, "Oh, no, really, I did." "You'll see. Come in on Wednesday night." Pat didn't go to church on Wednesday night. Why? She had a backslid husband, didn't go. She come in on Wednesday night, I'm getting ready. She said, "Where are you? What are you doing? I said, "Let's go. Get ready. We're going to church." Wednesday night. Started listening, Jimmy. Started listening. The best thing, many of you in this room today, you come to church, you come to church, you do the right things on the job, you might even pay your tithe. You do all these things, but you ain't listening. Because when you start listening, God start moving you. He didn't say, "Way to go, Philip, having a hallelujah meeting down there in Samaria, baptizing people getting saved, demons being cast out. Way to go, Philip." He said, "Get up, Philip, and go down there to one guy." One. The power of one. I read a story. I may have told this here, may not. I don't remember. Read a story of a guy. There's in a little old country church. His pastor coming to going to have a revival down there. Brother Raymond, he's going to have a revival. And this pastor told him. He said, "Now look here." He said, "You want to go visiting?" He said, "I do." He said, "Who's the meanest man in the county?" And he said, "Well, he don't live far from the church, but don't go there. You can go to any other house around here, but don't go to his house. He liable to cut you. He liable to break you up." He said, "No, I'm going to go see the meanest man in town." He said, "All right, here you go. Here's where he lives." If a story, I remember the story right, the pastor didn't even go with him. He's afraid of this guy. Afraid he'd burn his church or something for showing up. That boy rolls in on the front porch, knocks on the door, introduces himself, said, "I'm the evangelist down here holding revival this week, and I want you to come. I'm bringing you a personal invitation. Would you come to revival?" Old boy looked at him and said, "I'll come." He tells the pastor, and the pastor goes, "Oh, no. There's no telling what this guy's going to do when he gets in here tonight. If he shows up, I don't believe he'll come. But if he comes, no telling what's going to happen." They said he come in. He said, "I'm nothing against you back row people. I know everybody can't sit in the front, but he comes," he said, "on the back row." Preacher gets up and preaches about the love of God. Jesus dying for the meanest, worst that's ever been. That old big boy gets up weeping. He comes to an altar, falls down on an altar, cries out to God, gets gloriously saved. Gloriously saved. He gets up and asks the pastor, said, "Hey, why ain't there many people coming?" He said, "They just don't want to come." He said, "I'll go get them." "I don't know about that." He said, "Oh, they'll come if I ask them to come." They said in about a month and a half, if I remember the story right, 45 days or so, There's 68 new converts and church members at this little place. They have to tear the building down and build another building. You know why? One guy went to see one other guy who got a hold of the one guy that could do all the difference.
Thank the Lord.
Now, I've preached you happy, or should have. Here comes the negative part of the message. In Mark chapter 10, we see the power of one loving, God loving us, us loving God. We see the power of one listening, God listening to us, us listening to the Lord. But then we see in Mark chapter number 10, we see the power of one lacking. Jesus is out on a hillside endeavor one day, doing what he does, preaching and healing and helping. This boy comes running, up running. I mean, he's running to him, falls down and says, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, there's one thing for sure. Surely he was of the Pharisaical sect, or been raised near that, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the afterlife. So he had to believe in a resurrection in order to have believed in eternal life. My point is this: God had been doing his work on that end. You talked about it this morning. Or he's never going to come in the first place. You're not here. You might be here under duress today, but I doubt it. You come of your own free will. No one twisted your arm. They didn't make you come to church today. They might have shamed you into coming, but you didn't have to come. But you're not here by coincidence today. You're here for a purpose. God doesn't work by coincidence. He works by action. And everything is determined in his plan and will. I believe that. And this boy falls down. He's wanting eternal. What must I do? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, I've done this since I was a kid, from my youth up. And Jesus looking on him, and this just touches me when I read this. I read it over and over this morning. Jesus looking on him loved him. He loved him. And he said, one thing thou lackest. You've done all the right things, but there's one thing you're missing. Go sell what you got. And then take up the cross. And then follow me. And it tore that boy up. And he went away grieved. He was sad. He didn't listen. He went away sad. Why? Because he had great possessions. The power of that one possession over him. I was witnessing to a boy one day. He said, I'd get saved, except I'd have to give up my Budweiser. I said, son, I'd hate to go to hell for Budweiser. Bud never made anybody wiser. And Anheuser-Busch, they don't care whether you go to hell or not. Just buy their product. When they put a little pansy on the TV advertising their brew and people quit buying it, they'll do whatever they have to do to try to get their retail back. One thing. Lackest one thing. Hey, that one possession, what kind of power is that? Now, power, not just possessions, Randy. But people, there's a lot of reasons. And I could go a lot of different directions here. This octopus has a lot of limbs. I'm telling you, of things, that one thing that keeps people coming to Christ. But I tell you, what's the greatest of above them all, in my personal opinion, the original sin, it's pride. I will not bow. I will not come. I will not come publicly and bow. He said, you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. I will not do it. I won't do it. That's your one thing. Someday you will. Pride. The thing holding us, keeping people from coming. It may be their possessions. It may be a person. I can't get right because of this. I know people right now, Randy and I both, I can't get right with God because of this person. Whew. One thing. What's the one thing that would keep you from coming forward this morning and calling on a God that'll give you the power of his love, the privilege of listening to him, and then the privilege of us being able to speak to him? What's the one thing that'd keep you from doing that today? I just don't feel bad enough. You've heard enough truth this morning to know, look here, let me share it with you. Jesus said you must be born again. You've never been born again. You don't know you've been born again. You know if you've been born again. There's no confusion about it. If you ask any woman had a baby in this room, was they confused about a birth? No. They know. You know if you've been born again. You know if you're faking it, but you can't fake it and make it. You know today, I don't have to tell you. And listen, you come back tonight, and I'm going to preach just a little bit or teach a lesson. I don't know which way it's going to go on false conversions, and then we're going to have a baptizing. And churches are sitting full of lost people. What's the one thing? What's the one thing? Right now, God's rung somebody's bell. Oh, he's been dealing with me for a week or 2 weeks. I don't know when you taught on him. It's several, couple, 3 weeks back. Ever since then, God's been dealing with this. The power of one. The power of one. And then I got it. Last night, I'm sitting at the table, and God just comes to me. And he says, it's like the Lord whispers in my ear. I'm meditating on the word of God. There'll be someone there with one thing. And that rich young, you can't find in Scripture where that boy ever got right with God. As a matter of fact, I don't find him mentioned anymore. Jesus revealed his problem. Here it is. And Brenna. Jesus revealed his problem, and he rejected the promise. He said, you'll have treasure in heaven. Look, you can go, you can have eternal life, but here's what's going to require of you. He said, nah, I can't do that. The scripture says it like this. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. His possession, the thing that held him back, kept him. Play me something soft for him. Bow your heads with me in the sanctuary. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.